Hi, everyone, and welcome to Talent Talks. I'm Rob Adams, and today we're exploring how precision in talent deployment can be the hidden lever during private equity transformation. Joining me is Chris Gagnon, senior partner at CEO Works. Chris partners with private equity firms to accelerate portfolio company transformations using the firm's proprietary talent-to-value approach. Before joining CEO Works, Chris built McKinsey & Company's suite of digital business tools for their organization practice, earning a reputation for his practical understanding of how to simultaneously accelerate speed to value and increase enterprise value. In our conversation, we'll unpack what precision talent deployment really means, why transformation efforts often fall short, and how data and AI are reshaping how firms identify and deploy talent to maximize impact. Chris, welcome. Let's dive in.
Great to see you, Rob. That sounds pretty good. I can't wait to hear what we talk about.
I know. Who is this guy I just described? All right, let's go. I know you're eager. You want to dive into the power of precision talent deployment, how it unlocks value creation, accelerates transformation, and reshapes the way private equity firms achieve lasting impact. So, Chris, your upcoming session at the PEVC San Francisco conference is titled The Hidden Lever: Precision Talent Deployment in PE Transformation. What inspired that phrase, and what does it mean in the context of private equity value creation?
Well, let's start with what the value creation challenge is. And one of my friends who's a private equity GP said to me recently, he said, if you're doing deals today, you're underwriting transformations, whether you know it or not, meaning, you know, assets are priced at a level, and in this environment, you kind of have to generate twice the earnings growth you used to have to generate. So, if we think about a private equity world in which, a long time ago, you made all your money on the buy. You were buying, either underpriced or under-leveraged assets. Today, it's about the company you build. So transformation's never been more important. And, I spent a lot of my career at McKinsey & Company. I think I'm on the leaderboard for people who have seen the most transformations. And every consulting firm has a chart that says, some number like 75% of transformations fail. And I always tease them. I say, there's consultants involved in all those. You guys got pretty high market share, right? that's a number that should drive us all crazy, right? That number, just has to be higher. And by the way, that number is about the same as CEO success rates in private equity. And the private equity firms don't talk about that, but if you're the CEO at a time a private equity deal gets done, you've got about a 1 in 4 chance of being there 4 years later when they sell it and cash the check. And so that's the big problem we're all working on, is how to drive that hit rate up. And when you think about that, everybody knows the deciding factor is talent. Whenever you tell the story, it's what a group of people got done. Yet most of our transformation approaches are really heavy on process and really light on human insight. So, that's kind of where, me and my partner Sandy Ogg, who a lot of people will know from Blackstone and Talent to Value, are coming from. How do you organize a transformation around getting the right talent in the right roles, doing the right work in a way that drives, my personal hit rate's not 25%, it's closer to 75%. And that's what it needs to be.
And again, Chris will be delivering all of that in his session at the PEVC San Francisco conference, to be exact, which I happen to be moderating. So looking forward to that. You've spent years helping organizations transform, as we mentioned, at McKinsey, now at CEO Works. In your view, why do so many transformation efforts miss the mark, even when strategy and capital are sound?
Yeah, I'll give you I'll give you three reasons, and they're each worth diving into a little bit, but let me lay them out up front. The first is the difference between running a business the way most executives are used to running a business and focusing on a value agenda that's been underwritten. That's a huge difference that really differentiates, and we'll come back to that one. Second is the mantra of the losers and the mantra of the winners. Let me give you the mantra of the losers. The losers think big, right? Like some grand vision, you know, maybe clarity around how they're going to get there.
Sure.
They start big, hundreds of initiatives, program offices, culture change programs. They get these big programs going. They end up moving slow. And the fourth step is usually they get fired. Mm. And the mantra of the winners is think big or even bigger, but start as small and focused as you possibly can to start showing progress and putting wins on the board so you can move fast. Because nobody ever gets the plan right. I don't ever get the plan right. It's how quickly can you start putting runs on the board and adjust your plan as you go forward. And lastly is this real talent notion of finding people who click with the work and the roles that you need to drive value. And I really think the talent world has to evolve. You know, we all participate in evaluations and assessments. And you know what the evaluations and assessments say is that most of our people are pretty good people because they're pretty good people,
yeah.
Right? That's how they got these jobs, right? So how do these people with 90%, you know, assessment ratings and evaluation ratings keep delivering 25, 30% of what you hope for in transformation? It's not that they're not good people.
Sure.
It's that the fit between the work and the role and the person isn't there. And by the way, we all know that, you know, we've all, I asked this to audiences and I've never had anybody not raise their hand. I say, how many people have had a great job where they were great at it? Like you were humming, everything was great. Everybody raises their hand. Cause the people who come to Hunt Scaling conferences are pretty cool people, right?
Yes, they are.
And then, how many of you have had a lousy job where you didn't do very well? And everybody raises their hand, and they're the same people. So it's not, understanding that is what we all got to get to get to success. So those are the three things, and maybe we spend a little time on each.
You've said that talent is often the most under-leveraged lever for value creation. What makes it so powerful when it's deployed with precision, and how can PE firms start to quantify its impact?
Yeah, I think the reason it's under-levered is because we come from a history in which we had jobs with job descriptions that had lots of things on them, and success was the seat's empty, now the seat's full.
Mm.
And as recruiters or search firms or whoever, you declare victory on that. And I think that's a really incomplete definition. A lot of times you get better answers when you ask better questions. And I think the better question is, what's the work that needs to get done to make a value creation plan a reality? And what role are we expecting it done out of? What power are we giving the person? And then what person matches that? And when you start asking questions that way, you go from, I need an automotive marketing executive. Okay, let me go to Central Casting and pull up a list of automotive marketing executives to say, no, I need somebody who's going to drive social media adoption in, this sort of population. I may come up with a very different group of candidates. Mm. And if I was to criticize the talent industry, which you and I are part of, I would say we've treated talent like it's a supply question, when, like all things, it's a supply and demand matching question, and we don't pay nearly enough attention to the demand side. Job descriptions are lousy.
The conference will also explore how technologies like AI are reshaping transformation. How do you see data and AI influencing how firms identify, assess, and deploy talent today?
Boy, it's a question that goes right to how I'm spending all my time right now, Rob. As you know, one of the peak experiences in my career was helping lead the org solutions group at McKinsey. And we built a bunch of digital tools, the Organizational Health Index and Org Lab and Talent Match, and a lot of things that have gained a lot of traction. And at the time we did that, I remember we used to spend a lot of time planning these things, because it took a lot of money and a lot of programming talent to bring things into reality. We built an app about a month ago in 2 days using AI programming tools and AI data. And if that doesn't change your mind about the way things are going to get done going forward, or open your mind, we're missing the point. And for me, it gets back to that supply-demand matching idea. We use the idea of a click score, which is, what's the work that needs to get done and how hard is that? What's the role that I put somebody in? We always tell the story of a lot of PE, a lot of firms, frankly, broadly, have tried to become more digital. They hire some person out of Google, they give them a budget of $1.73 and an assistant, and they wonder a year later why they're not acting like a digital native company, and they assume they hired the wrong person. And the answer is nobody could have succeeded out of that role with that power. But you get the work and the role, then you can really match a person to it. And if you think about the ability to understand those things using data today, we've ingested hundreds of private equity value creation plans and listed the jobs to be done that have to come out of that. You can score them, right? The person who's got to take 2% out of SG&A has an easier challenge than the person who has to break into the Chinese EV market, right? It just is.
Yeah.
Right? Once you have, as always, once you have big data, you can start making insights. Similarly, you use the data that's available on all of us online, and your shorthand is LinkedIn, but it's actually a much broader buffet of data than that. It's actually pretty easy to go from the question of is Chris Gagnon a decent guy? Yeah, Chris seems to be a decent guy. Is he the right guy to do this? No, Chris is not the right guy. There's nothing in his background that would tell you he's the right guy to do this. So I think we're just at the very beginning, but it's never been easier or more important to think about the question of how you bring data to bear on these sorts of questions.
All right. Without giving away too much from your upcoming session, what are you most excited for attendees to take away from your conversation with Sandy in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think, there's a couple of speeches that I always do and are always important. The focus on the value agenda is a big one. The think big, start small, move fast discussion. But I would like to get this notion of the click between work, role, and talent into the public discourse, the same way organizational health became, sort of a topic everybody uses. If we all could, forget whether you work with me or somebody else, or you use this digital tool or that tool, if we could all start thinking about the work, the role, and the talent, and the fact that we're making a bet on how they fit together. Private equity is a betting, risk-seeking endeavor. I think you could argue, capitalist economy, or certainly, today's Western capitalist economy, is a betting forecasting world. We're making forecasts when we put somebody in a role, and the forecast is, what percentage of the dollars that are at risk in this deal are going to show up because I put this person on this task in these roles. And boy, that you start scoring that, that's a very different scorecard than, you know, did my person perform at or slightly above expectations this year?
Chris,
better questions, better answers.
Yeah, there you go. Chris, as we wrap up, anything you want to add?
Well, San Francisco next week is going to be great. You know, be there or be square. One of the things we're going to do at the end of our presentation is announce a digital tool that we're making available at scale to our private equity clients. I couldn't think of any better place to do that than Silicon Valley. So that'll be the little, cherry on top next week.
Oh, that sounds great. I can't wait. Looking forward to seeing you out there.
We'll see you there, bud.
Chris, a fascinating discussion. Your insights into precision talent transformation and the evolving role of data and AI in private equity are incredibly valuable. Thanks for joining us and giving us a preview of what's to come at the PEVC San Francisco Conference. And to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Hunt Scanlon Media and Talent Talks for more conversations on leadership and talent. I'm Rob Adams. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.